Hyundai. Believe everything you hear. Kerry's of Cork, Mallow and Middleton. Kerry's.ie. Red FM.
Good evening, folks. You're very welcome along to the Big Red Bench. Coming up tonight, we'll be looking back at Ireland's disappointing defeat to Scotland.
When you come away from home, if you don't win the game, it's important that you don't lose the game. And that's a disappointment for us.
We'll talk to Ballincollig as they prepare for Munster.
A lot of people have said that to us, that this is going to be just icing on the cake. But that's far from how we're taking this game and the Munster Championship.
County champion Sarsfield, join us, look back on their year.
I didn't get much celebrations. I was working the week after, so I kind of let that to Craig. If you go to that thing normally, like, so Craig is a group of fellas with him there, they're well able for that, like, so yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be cool,
like, entourage,
yeah, there's four or five of them there, like.
Also tonight we will be talking rugby, looking ahead to Ireland and Georgia, and we'll also talk about Spike O'Sullivan versus Anthony Fitzgerald, which takes place tonight. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Rory O'Hagan and Lisa Lauder here with you until 7 p.m. this evening. You can tweet us at Big Red Bench. Text us 086 8104 106. A really packed show coming your way over the next 60 minutes. We're going to start by looking back on Ireland and Scotland. Before that, Lisa is going to get us up to date on everything that happened today.
Well, the news out of training today for the Ireland camp, Robbie Keane has returned to his club, LA Galaxy.
And a half.
Won't take part, probably. He won't take part in Tuesday's friendly with the USA at the Aviva, which I'm sure he's devastated about. Galaxy have the first leg of their MLS Western Conference semi-final with Seattle Sounders next Sunday. Darren Gibson took a minor knock to the knee in last night's defeat and has returned to Everton. Those players who did not play the full 90 minutes at Celtic Park last night took part in today's session at Gannon Park in Malahide. The latest scores from this evening's games in the Euro 2016 qualifiers. Live action in Group C at halftime, Luxembourg a goal down against Ukraine. Poland beat Georgia 4-0 last night. Other live matches, England still scoreless against Slovenia. It's halftime between San Marino and Estonia in Group E, and that's also scoreless. Halftime, Austria hosting Russia, still scoreless. No score either in Group G, where Moldova hosts Liechtenstein. And that's your live action this evening in the Euro qualifiers. Liverpool's striker woes continue. Mario Balotelli has returned to Merseyside after picking up groin and back problems while on international duty with Italy. Ireland's under-19s made it 2 wins from 2 in Euro qualifying Group 6 today. 2 goals from Leeds striker Owen Stokes helped Paul Doolan's side to a 4-1 win over Gibraltar at Ferry Carrick Park today. Ireland's under-21s are beaten 1-0 by the USA in Marbella in their friendly. In rugby then, the Ireland match day 23 have all been reported fit and healthy following their captain's run at the Aviva ahead of tomorrow's test with Georgia. Scotland and the All Blacks are underway in the live action from today's international series action. As I said, Scotland leading the All Blacks there 7-5 with about 25 minutes on the clock there. There were 6 tries shared equally at Twickenham today. South Africa were now 31-28 winners against England. At the Millennium Stadium, Wales were 17-13 winners against Fiji. And later on tonight, France clash with Australia from 8. In the Ulster Bank League today, some full-time scores in Division 1A. Dolphin and Ballinahinch finished 7-all. Corcon beat Clontarf 13-10. In 2A, Cashel had a 23-18 win over UCC, while in 2B Middleton beat Boyne 27-0, and Sunday's Well had a 10-0 win over Old Crescent. In golf, Wade Ormsby will take a one shot lead into the final round of the Turkish Airlines Open tomorrow. The Aussie carded a 68 today to top the leaderboard on 12 under par, one clear of Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood and Marcel Siem. Shane Lowry is still in contention, though a bogey at the last saw him end the day on 8 under. In boxing, Matthew Macklin faces Argentine Jorge Sebastian Haaland in an eliminator bout at the 3 Arena tonight. The winner will become the mandatory challenger for WBC champion Miguel Cotto. John Donovan fights on the undercard tonight, taking on English featherweight Jack Heath. But the big one we're looking forward to comes just before that. Gary Spike O'Sullivan goes up against Anthony Fitzgerald. In basketball, the National Cup gets underway this weekend. 2 matches for Cork with Cork interest this evening. CNS UCC Demons go to Colester from 7. BFG Neptune travel to UCD Marion, where it's an 8 o'clock start. And finally in tennis, Novak Djokovic has beaten Kei Nishikori 6-1, 3-6, 6-love today. today to reach the final of the ATP World Tour Finals in London. And the world number one will face the winner of the All-Swiss contest between Roger Federer and Stan Wawrinka.
Cheers, Lee. England and Slovenia is almost as bad a game as Ireland and Scotland last night, and that's saying something. It's been played on the Wembley pitch, which has been absolutely ravaged by the NFL games that have been held there, especially the one 6 days ago. The lines from the NFL game are still there. You can still see the logo in the centre circle.
Seriously.
And because the NFL pitch is obviously narrower than a football pitch, where all the substitutes stand like on the touchlines, it's just completely bald.
Oh, of course.
All the way around there. Roy Hodgson has been talking about the pitch saying it's a disgrace, and it's not really conducive to a good game of football, which is what we're getting at the moment.
Didn't happen at Croke Park, I tell you, when they had that NFL game, the colleges won, and then they had, didn't they have All-Ireland Championship the next day or
yeah,
something
they
like
did,
that?
And you didn't even see the lines.
Didn't happen in Croke Park, no.
Alright, we are going to talk about Ireland's quote-unquote performance against Scotland last night. First, we're going to hear from Robbie Keane.
Well, I think it's obvious to see that we didn't create a lot of chances. I think we had a couple of maybe half chances in the first half. The second half, McGeady's left foot and Marshall saved. So, as I said, I mean, it was important to, when you come away from home, if you don't win the game, it's important that you don't lose the game, and that's a disappointment for us.
In
the
way, big word, mate. Bobby, 14 years since you were left out of a starting team, one injured. Did Martin have a word before the game? Were you surprised yourself?
I speak about the game. Listen, if the manager wants to play one up front, I'm not Noel Quinn or not Shane Long, so that's his. They're better than that than I am. They play two up front, they want to score goals, and that's my game. So certainly, listen, I prefer to speak about, you know, the team rather than the individual making a big deal of, you know, someone starting the game. The manager made a decision, and you have to respect that. You know, playing one up front doesn't suit me. So I think it's fairly obvious. I'm 5'10", so it's not my game.
A clearly frustrated Robbie Keane speaking after last night's game, not too happy to have been left out, didn't sound too happy with the performance, and he's not effing Niall Quinn either, apparently, which is a nice one.
No, that's the use of the expletive definitely suggests frustration.
Yep. Now Rob Lyons of punditarena.com joins us now in studio for more on the game. And Rob, this was just massively disappointing from a performance perspective, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as we were just saying, in the first half it was a very scrappy game. You know, no one really took control of the game, and I think Scotland probably attributed to that as well. But there seemed to be not too much direction up front. You know, midfield was being bypassed too much, I thought, especially by John O'Shea and Keogh just kind of kicking the ball up to Long, and I don't think he can play up there on his own that well. And it was, of course, Hendrick and Gibson in midfield were just, you know,
I didn't see Hendrick in my game, genuinely.
Like they didn't have any impact on the game at all, you know. We really missed McCarthy, I think, you know, and even in that atmosphere, he obviously would have upped his game as well, I think, you know. Him and McGeady were the two players that were singled out by Scotland fans to be booed, I suppose, and I think McCarthy was really missed to get a foothold in the game.
We looked to gain a little bit of control at the start of the second half, but that was short-lived too. It was probably the only period you could be a little bit happy about.
Yeah, exactly. It was either side of half-time. Scotland seemed to really kind of grab control. I mean, I know Ireland came out in the second half and really tried to settle it down and stop playing that long ball game, but after about 65 minutes, Scotland just really took control, and I think once they settled into the game a bit more, there was no recovery for Ireland then, really, especially after the goal.
Yeah, there's only going to be one winner after that goal, to be honest. Team selection wise, was the first time that Robbie Keane was left out of a competitive fixture that he was fit for since 2001. Probably the right decision based on the fact that, like, Martin O'Neill was going 4-5-1, Robbie Keane doesn't have the legs for that. When Robbie came on, he didn't make an impact, but as we were mentioning, Shane Long up front on his own, no support, completely isolated, just didn't work.
It didn't, and it's really a kind of a catch 22, because I don't think Ireland really have a striker that can play that role too well, you know. I mean, you know, Long was in good form during the week in the Premier League, but it doesn't really suit him. I mean, even his goal for Southampton, he was playing off his other strike partner as well. Like, Walters worked really hard for the game, and I think he's probably the best suited because he's such a physical presence up there. But other than that, I don't think we really have a striker at the moment that can play up front on his own, such as like Fletcher did for Scotland, who latched onto headers.
Marcus Sullivan's the man to bring in there, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
Rob, after the draw against Germany, it feels a little bit like the Irish football attitude of, you know, being unhappy is restored or something. But is there any positive we can take out of last night?
I think the positives we can take out of it is that Ireland did go into the game in the first half at least with the same attitude of Scotland, as we're going to get in their face and we're going to put them under a lot of pressure. But other than that, I think, you know, the new managerial change has shown that maybe the players that Ireland do have, you know, it doesn't really matter who the manager is, maybe there just isn't that amount of quality there that people think there is, you know. But I have to say as well, we were missing McCarthy, and I think Whelan as well would have had an impact in midfield, but you know, it's hypothetical.
But do you think that's the manager's fault here now, as in, like, he's not playing to his strengths, and you know, that ultimately comes down to his organisation on the sideline if he's not dealing with what he has and working with the best of what he has?
Yeah, I think not starting Robbie Keane was a very bold move, and you know, anyone watching the match knows that it didn't pay off. I think he probably should have started Long and Keane up front to give us any sort of chance of getting a goal. And you know, it was really a matter of, if Scotland got the first goal, I think they would have won the game. And it was when they got the goal as well, after 74 minutes, you know, there's no coming back from that.
If Trapattoni's Ireland had turned in a performance like that, Trapattoni would have been slated in the media today. Martin O'Neill seems to have escaped to a degree, hasn't he?
I think he has, and it's probably because he's so early into his stint as well. You know, it's only a few games in, but I don't think the players should necessarily be slated. I think, you know, O'Neill, he put out the team that he thought would make a difference against Scotland, and it didn't work out for him. I mean, I don't think there's major problems in the team. I think, you know, there might be a bit too much hyperbole around that, but I think the Ireland team that was put out probably isn't our strongest 11, and we were missing players as well.
Trying to find the positives, Rob. I love
exactly.
it. I love it. But what it means now is we look forward to, and first comes this USA friendly at the Aviva on Tuesday, and I don't think anyone's really going to care about that at all.
5,000 people
yeah, at most, I think. But now it's all about Poland and Scotland at home, which turn into massive games.
Exactly, yeah, and especially with Poland winning as well, you know, they're top of the table now. And if Ireland had won that game, it would have given them a huge boost going into the new year. And now that home Scotland game, as you mentioned, is going to be absolutely massive. I think it's going to be a completely different game, but I don't think it'll be as frantic as it was in Celtic Park, hopefully. And you know, it does add a lot more pressure now to the games in the new year.
That's Rob Lyons of punditarena.com. Thanks very much for joining us, Rob.
Cheers, Rory.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Now, cracking competition starting on Monday on Cork's Red FM. Finders, keepers. We've teamed up with Kerry's Motor World to give one lucky listener in Cork the chance to win a brand new Nissan Juke. On Monday morning, tune into the KC show at 7:30 a.m. for the code you need to enter. The car will be located at Black Ash Park and ride from 8 a.m. on Monday morning for an hour only. Listen for the code, find the car, and you're in the draw for the grand final. It's that easy to win your brand new Nissan Juke with Kerry's Motor World, the new name for Nissan in Cork. It's Finders Keepers, redfm.ie for more details. Now, we both watched this match last night. I thought it was terrible, one of the worst Ireland performances I can remember. And as I said to Rob there, if Trapattoni had turned in a performance like that, he'd be slated. What do you think?
Frantic for the first half, and I really thought it would come down to...
Frantic and poor, though.
Frantic and poor, yeah, exactly. It wasn't just a high-tempo, classy game where, you know, it was I don't know, did either team string three passes together at any stage in that first half? So it was ugly football, and I definitely thought that a goal was going to come out of an error, and it came from Ireland's, you know, poorly set up poorly defensively.
Cracking finish, I think. Nothing.
That's what I have to say. Yeah, Sean Maloney's goal, it was a really, really good finish, a great strike. So you have to give him credit to where it's due there. But just so disappointing overall from an Irish perspective. And as we touched on there with Rob too, like, it's just, as I said, like, it feels like the negativity of Irish football is restored after, you know, having a glimpse of positivity after Germany.
Yeah, I think what it was, I mean, like, I was discussing this with friends during the week, and that it was the first time that we could remember that we were genuinely looking forward to an Ireland football game in quite a long time. There was a lot of excitement and a lot of build-up to it, and I suppose it was exciting. And then just to watch that, like, 90 minutes of that Ross last night, just hoof, 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 hoof. Oh, man.
Well, the first I enjoyed yesterday being able to describe our European Championship campaign as unbeaten to this point, when you consider that we'd Germany in the last match. But I don't know, it was like it brought us crashing right back down to earth last night.
A reality check, I think it's called.
A reality check, yeah.
All right, Wayne Rooney has just equalised for England against Slovenia from the penalty spot, when Rooney scoring on his 100th cap for England. A lot of debate on him during the week as to whether or not he can be called an all-time England great. Not entirely sure myself.
Two quick goals there, eh?
Yep, so 1-1 it is in Wembley, 60 minutes there on the clock. Now, Cork City boss John Caulfield's been continuing his contract negotiations with players this week. Today the club announced that Michael McSweeney's staying on next season, while earlier this week the experienced Colin Healy and Dan Murray were announced as re-signings for 2015. The new signing this week was from Bohemians, Dave Mulcahy. He spent 8 months with City back in 2008 before a controversial exit under Alan Matthews. Lisa's been speaking to Dave about that, but began by congratulating him on signing.
Thanks very much, yeah. I'm delighted. I've been talking to John the last couple of weeks, trying to see could I commit to the club, and wanted to see what way John was going forward with the club next year. So I was delighted when we could put pen to paper there last Friday, I think it was.
Good stuff. And the statement released by Cork City this morning said John Caulfield did everything to sign you. So what exactly sold it for you?
Well, the club sold it for itself. It was just personal commitments, making sure I could commit to the full time there next year and travel down to Cork. So it wasn't a case that I didn't want to sign for Cork. It was a case of could I.
Did you have other options to consider in the whole process of deciding?
Well, obviously, after being another 3 seasons at Bohemians and being club captain, you know, it was also, I had to talk to them and see what way they were going forward. But I just thought that personally for me, it was a great move to go to Cork.
John's done a lot of business actually early in this off-season as well. I think you're the 16th confirmed contractor. Were those factors that influenced you as well and impressed you?
Absolutely, and that's key for John and the club going forward for next season. Has to build on it, had a great season, but obviously you need a stronger squad, and I'm sure that's what John is aiming for, signing the likes of myself and signing back the stalwarts like Colin Healy and Dan Murray.
Now, you were down in 2008, of course, as well, so you know the setup largely, and some of the players?
Yeah, I know. I think there's about 8 players there since then, and I'm sure I'll tie in with fairly quickly and adapt to what way they're going to train and play. But obviously, it didn't work out for me down there. It was cut short, but hopefully I have some unfinished business to do here at Cork again.
Can I ask you about your exit in 2008? Because the club would have released a statement that time terminating the contract because of you not taking your place on the subs bench for a particular game.
Yeah, it was just between myself and the manager. It's nothing to do with the players, because all the players had backed me at the time. I had a lot of good friends there at the time, but obviously, like, I was putting in a huge commitment to come down to Cork. I was travelling up and down most days, had my own business and stuff, and we just it just didn't work out between myself and the manager, you know. And I just asked to move on because it's key to be playing, and you know that's what I wanted to do, was play for Cork.
Your thoughts on Cork City last season, Dave?
Yeah, sure, it's fantastic. Looking from a neutral point of view, you'd be saying during the season that you couldn't see Cork being able to keep it up. But to be fair to John and the squad, like, they kept it up right to the end, and you know, just fell short on the last day, but huge achievement. I'm sure everyone in Cork were delighted with the performances throughout the season.
A very impressive attitude and character in this side, would you agree?
Yeah, and that's key for John and who he was signing this season, and he made that known, like, when he was signing me, that his squad is very unified, and he selectively picked players that he wanted to bring into the squad to bolster, but obviously not to cause any problems either.
You'll be seen as a utility player. You play across the defence and midfield. What's your preferred position, Dave?
Preferred, I would be originally a centre half that moved into midfield probably about 12 seasons ago, so I can adapt to most positions, even a full back if I had to be, so it doesn't really matter to me, to tell you the truth.
And what do you hope to bring to the club?
Experience and to help the younger players is a big thing for training and for match day, and hopefully then I can get into the team as much as possible and unify the team.
Yes, Dave Mulcahy there, who signed for Cork City during the week. I'd imagine he's going to be back up for the likes of Dan Murray, Darren Dennehy, Colin Healy, but a very experienced player, a lot to offer, and he was good against us for Bohemians this season as well. So
Yeah, he played a big role in that, and John identified that actually when he was talking about the signings. So, yeah, hopefully he'll another boost to the club. It's another good signing, it seems, reaction-wise from Cork City fans.
Right, England 1, Slovenia 1 is latest score from Emily, 64 minutes on the clock. And in the Autumn Internationals, New Zealand leading Scotland by 14 points to 10. We're going to move to Gaelic Games. It's a massive weekend in the club championships with three Cork clubs representing the county and national and provincial competition. Moore and Abbey ladies take on Mount Mellick of Leash in an All-Ireland semi-final tomorrow. Best of luck to them, and we'll hopefully be discussing a winning performance on tomorrow's show. For now, we're previewing the Munster Championship action for Ballincollig and Valley Rovers. Ballincollig captured their first county title a number of weeks back with victory over Carbery Rangers. Tomorrow they take on Kerry's Austin Stacks in Tralee in the Munster semi-final. Lisa has been talking to their manager Michael O'Brien and begins by asking how life is as manager, having ended a long wait for county success.
It was great. Since we won, we celebrated for two or three days and brought the cup to the schools and did all of that. But we were back training again on the Thursday night after, just to refocus everybody, just for everyone to still buy into. We're not finished the season yet, and we're going to go on and give the Munster Championship a big go.
Now, with a couple of weeks to take it all in, would you say that there's a lot of pressure off your shoulders now, having delivered the success?
Well, I suppose the pressure, like, as we hadn't won a senior county championship in the history of the club, obviously there is a lot of pressure going into that game. So the pressure coming into this game probably isn't as much as it was going into the county final. But we're still fully focused and fully prepared for a big challenge that is ahead of us.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Michael, I get the impression it wasn't hard to refocus the lads after the county success.
No. There's a great bunch of lads involved, the players, with a superb attitude and a serious commitment to what we want to achieve. And it was very easy because they wanted as much as the community of Ballincollig want us, so so they are fully focused on the job at hand.
Good. And Michael, you've used the word yourself in the past that you might have been bottlers or been called bottlers in the past. The county final definitely proved to everybody that you weren't or aren't anymore. You know, having gone down so much in the first half and coming back, made of sterner stuff this year. Has it improved your own confidence, do you think?
There is no doubt, again, that just shows the character. We had it similarly in the first round against St Finbar's when we started very poorly, only getting a point in the first half and coming back and having an excellent last 15-20 minutes. And again against Carbery Rangers when we needed leaders and characters on the pitch, they shone through. And that just comes from their effort and commitment throughout the whole year, on and off the pitch. The players need a lot of credit for that.
In terms of housekeeping, have you any injuries, new injuries, or any long-term injuries at the moment?
The only one was Alan O'Donovan, who's come on in a number of the games, dislocated his shoulder in training on Sunday.
Oh.
But other than that, we are at full strength.
He'll be very disappointed himself, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. He's gutted because he's put in a huge effort in training over the last 3 or 4 months. But look, hopefully there'll be more days to come for the season, so he could be back if we get over the Austin Stacks game.
Yeah, do the job on Sunday. And how would you say training has changed or adapted for this time of the year since the county final?
Well, I suppose it's the kind of standard of the pitches. Obviously going to be a big change with playing in the middle of November. You're playing in real winter conditions where there's no doubt, and Tralee, there's usually a good wind any time you're down in Tralee. So like the game, you're not going to be looking at very high scores. You know, I would envisage the game being very tight and nothing much between the sides. And it could be up to a bit of genius or a mistake that could be the winning or losing of this game.
And in terms of your team selection and things like that, obviously you'll have a very competitive nature in training these days. So have lads given you changes to make to the team?
There is a number of players who are fighting hard and performing exceptionally well, who have been very unlucky not to get a starting point up to here. To be honest, there won't be too many changes from the county final, but we'll see, there might be one or two.
And Noel Galvin is back from Australia, back from his travels?
He is. He came back yesterday evening, so he's gone home and ready to go. He's a guy who takes very good care of himself, so there's no issue with him coming back. He'll be ready for action, no doubt.
Great. You know, it's one of your biggest challenges yet now when you consider your opposition, Austin Sachs, Michael.
Absolutely. The further you go, the more difficult the challenge gets. And the more each of the teams need to go up a gear. So for us to get over Austin Sachs, especially playing in Tralee, we'll have to go up a gear even from the county final victory.
And no doubt you have the homework done on their county final DVD. So what did you learn about them?
Look, we learned that they're a very good team. They have a very good work rate and work ethic. They've been thereabouts over the last 2 years in Kerry. So we know it's going to be a big challenge. And Kieran Donaghy, obviously, he's the talk of never mind Kerry. He's the talk of Ireland in Gaelic football circles after his couple of months with Kerry from the All-Ireland semi-final with Mayo and been triumphant with Austin Sachs. So we know it's going to be a big challenge. There's some very good players, but look, we'll be ready for the challenge.
And when we're honest about it, he's a big individual threat you'll have to try and curb.
Absolutely. There is no doubt. And many players have tried to stop him and many teams have tried to stop him and failed. So we know it'll be a big challenge for us come Sunday.
Yeah, and representing Cork, as you've said, a championship that's branded the toughest for a reason. Anything can happen on Munster Championship Day.
I know, absolutely. And, you know, in every game, you need a small bit of luck as well. So hopefully that will be on our side. And we'll go into the game. We'll be travelling confident, looking for a win. And we'll see what happens on the day.
Good. And when I spoke to John Miskell last week, actually, it's by no means bonus territory for you. You're going to win that match.
No, absolutely. A lot of people have said that to us, that this is going to be just icing on the cake. But that's far from how we're taking this game and the Munster Championship, because we waited 127 years to get to this stage, and you just don't know when it will come again. So you have to go for it and take every opportunity that comes your way. So we're absolutely traveling to Tralee on Sunday to win this game.
And finally, there's no need to rally the troops at all. I imagine you'll have a massive travelling support on Sunday. There's a great buzz around the place out in Ballincollig.
Oh yeah, Ballincollig is buzzing, and the community have really got behind this team. And I know there's a number of buses with all the youth development travelling down, and Austin Sachs have also a huge support that travel with them. So I expect a big noisy crowd and a great atmosphere.
That's what it's all about. Look, the very best of luck to you on Sunday. Exactly. We'll hopefully talk to you afterwards. Thanks very much.
Yeah, great stuff. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Listening to the Big Red Bench, that's Michael O'Brien of Ballincollig. Best luck to them against Austin Sachs Tralee in the Munster semi-final tomorrow. England were a goal down against Slovenia. They now lead by 3-1. Wayne Rooney restored parity from the penalty spot. Danny Welbeck has just netted a brace there to make England a little bit more comfortable at Wembley. And at half time in the Autumn International, New Zealand are leading Scotland by 14-10. Still to come on the show, going to talk to Valley Rovers, going to talk to Sarsfields about their incredible year, going to look ahead to Ireland and Georgia, and look ahead to Spike's fight tonight. All to come between now and 7 on the bench.
Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie.
With Kerry's Hyundai. Believe everything you hear. Kerry's of Cork, Mallow and Middleton. Kerry's.ie.
Red FM.
Right, you're listening to the Big Red Bench. Rory and Lisa here with you until 7 p.m. tonight. We're going to stick with Gaelic Games, and Valley Rovers will represent Cork in the Munster Intermediate Championship semi-finals tomorrow. They're taking on the Pearshaig of Limerick in the Gaelic Grounds. Lisa is previewing this game with their boss, Gerard Sline.
Preparations have gone well, Lisa. 3 weeks on now. Ground conditions have changed considerably. We've tried to adapt to that. We've played a couple of games and done some training on the heavy ground, and guys are starting to adapt to it. No major injuries, a couple of niggling injuries, which hopefully will be sorted out by Sunday. So yeah, all in all, preparations are going well. Happy enough with what's happened in the last 3 weeks.
Good stuff. Did you play challenge games against opposition from outside of the county or just among yourselves?
We had a couple of games within the county. We had offers from outside the county, but which would involve a bit of travelling and stuff like that. But with guys away in college and stuff, just a little bit awkward. The logistics wouldn't have worked out too well for us, and we decided to stay more or less in-house and play local games, and which gave us more control over what we wanted to do with tactics, etc. So they also went well for us.
Good stuff. So you've tried to adapt the game plan maybe for this time of year and the football that's played in November?
Yeah, exactly. It's a big change now from playing in, you know, in July and August, where the ground conditions are much different, pitches are heavier, ball doesn't travel so far in the air, guys have to do a little bit more running, have to carry the ball a little bit more. For instance, they're not going to be bouncing the ball anymore. And, you know, it takes a little while when you're playing for 5 or 6 months in pretty good conditions, which we had all summer. And it's a big change to adapt in a couple of weeks. And we tried to work on that in training and to, you know, try and play in bad conditions as often as we could in the last couple of weeks. And while it mightn't be ideal, the short run into the Munster Championship, it was the same for every other team. So, yeah, we just have to adapt to it, really.
Now, Ger, it's from one Napiershig to another, and you've the Limerick version this Sunday. So, what do you know of them?
Yeah, it's exactly. It's a different name, or the same name, a different county. Yeah, we know a little bit about them, and that they're very similar to the Napiershig we beat from here in Cork. Predominantly a hurling team, albeit a very good hurling team. Have played in 2 or 3 county finals this year in hurling in Limerick, and have won the football, obviously, and beat a very fancied Sensen's team in that. So we've a very young team, I believe, a bit like our own team in that respect. Believe very good footballers, very able. And of course, we're going into their own backyard down in Cardavon in Limerick. They're only a mile down the road from the pitch. We expect them to come with a big support there, and very vociferous people, I believe. So yeah, we've got to adapt to that as well. So yeah, we believe that very physical young team, and I'm sure they're going to be well up for this challenge, playing in their own backyard. So we've got to really be focused to try and get out of this with a win.
As you say, they weren't fully expected to win the county title up there. They went in as underdogs, but their county final was played before years, so you haven't actually seen them, have you?
We haven't seen them, Lisa, no. We've got a bit of feedback about them. We haven't actually seen them playing. It just didn't work out that way for us, because as you say, the logistics weren't right for us. I've got a bit of feedback from people down there that they beat a very good Sensen's team, who are predominantly a footballing outfit. Okay, they got a few goals on that day, which are, I keep saying, goals win your matches, and if you can get goals, you're going to be there with any team. We haven't seen them play, but I doubt if they've seen us play either. So it's a really it's a win on the day situation. Whoever does the best in 60 minutes, and I have no doubt the conditions are going to play a really big part in this. So I think whoever would be able to adapt to the conditions down there would have a great chance of coming out on top.
Ger, it's the nature of Munster Championship, though, that it's all on the day, really. It'll come down to factors like the weather, conditioning, I suppose, at this time of the year, and adapting to those conditions, but anything can happen.
Absolutely, Lisa, you're spot on there. It's kind of potluck at this stage. You can prepare all you want, and you can go to watch teams at this stage, but on the given day, you know, it just depends how your 15 are going to perform. And when I mention numbers, as I've said this all year to different people, we don't base our game on a 15-man team anymore. We feel that we have 22, 23 players who could start any game. And statistics will show that we brought in 5 and 6 subs in almost every championship game we've played this year. And these guys invariably do the business for us, and in some cases they turn games for us. And, you know, it's how these guys will adapt, and as I'd be saying to them that, you know, mistakes are going to be made out there, no question about that, because of the conditions. But it's how you're going to react and deal with these mistakes is how you're going to be judged. And it's going to be all on the day, 15 young guys against 15, and we just hope that we can come out on top.
Obviously, at the start of the year, Ger, you know, the county success is the main focus, and when you win that, you know, the tack changes to Munster Championship. But how much does this victory mean to you on Sunday?
Yeah, but I've seen the previous people, Lisa, you know, we won the county, which was our holy grail for the year, and we're delighted to have won that. But speaking to some of the older guys on the team, the likes of the Alan Quirk and the Kevin Canties, the Faithful Lynches, Nora Donovan, the David Lynches, were all there in 2009 when they previously won the county and started out in the Munster campaign. They felt that time they were a little bit naive in that. First up, they had a 7-week break between winning the county and playing Munster Championship, but also they felt that they just thought they had enough fun in winning the county, and they didn't show enough respect to the Munster Championship and go out to try and do their best in it. No, they did their best, but they felt that their preparation wasn't right. So while we have won the county, we decided a couple of weeks ago that, yeah, we're going to have a go off of this. And following winning the county on the Sunday, we were back training again on the Wednesday in preparation for this. So we would hope that, yeah, as I said to you at the outset, preparations have gone well. We've geared ourselves well for this, and we're going out there to win this game and hope to reach the Munster final.
A factor of unfinished business. Great way to go into it. Gerard, the best of luck to you on Sunday.
Thank you very much indeed, Lisa.
It's just line there of Valley Rovers. They take on the Pearshick of Limerick tomorrow in the Munster Intermediate Championship semi-final. So best of luck indeed to them. Almost over at Wembley, England leading Slovenia 3-1, and Scotland have reduced the gap in New Zealand 14-13, the All Blacks lead. Scotland have never beaten New Zealand in 29 meetings. This could be their best chance. Exciting times for the Scots. We're going to talk hurling, and the Sarsfields hurlers saw their championship campaign come to a disappointing end with Munster defeat last week. Ghent, but that was after a hugely satisfying county success as they bounced back from last year's final defeat to regain the title they last won in 2012. A couple of the lads calling to us earlier today to talk about their year.
Tygog Murphy, corner forward.
Craig Leahy, fullback. William Kearney, cornerback.
Alright boys, we'll get the unfortunate stuff out of the way. How are you feeling after last week?
Pretty good in no race, you know, after county final, coming back to losing Munster again. It's definitely not good, but the effort we put in, you know, we were unhappy, no, but you know, it was a great effort, so that's one positive, but it's not much in saying that, like.
Craig, does it become one of the hardest Munster defeats because of playing so well and coming so close yet again?
Yeah, I suppose it was fairly disheartening, gutting, you know, at the end of the game when you're knackered, tired, and like having play, like, we conceded three goals, but we did play well in stages. So, and John, just to be a puck of ball away again is fairly disheartening. So I'd say probably is up there with it being the worst at the moment, John. It's only kind of settling in now, or setting in at this stage, when at the weekend, now first weekend, and I don't know how long that you've no training or you've nothing to look forward to like that. So yeah, it's still pretty raw now at the moment. So.
William, it was an epic game when we were watching it on TV. What was it like to play him?
Like, I suppose from start to finish, I've never played in a game with such intensity. I mean, the hits were very big, like, and I think the referee had a big part to play in that. Like, he kind of let the game flow, which was great for us. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, I suppose the one standout thing from the game was the game seemed to go on for ages, but yeah, they kind of finished in an instant.
Yeah.
I think it was 30 seconds where they got 2 points at the end, and for me that was the most wrenching thing, leaving the pitch. Was that you just? It was so quick. They finished us off so quickly after us kind of playing so well in the game. Like, and yeah, that was just the real thing. Kind of sticks in the head. Like, you know.
Can we move on, Rory?
Yes.
Let's backtrack and talk about more positive times. And Ty, just captaining your club back to county success, where Sars have been for so many years. But this year, what did it mean?
Yeah, like coming off losing once though, but you know, we still have to look back and reflect on an unbelievable year. Like, when you're waiting 50 years to win a county, just even winning another one is just unbelievable. Like, for me personally, to captain such a group of players, it's definitely the biggest honour I've had in my sporting career yet. Just going up the steps, receiving the cup, looking out on the field and just seeing the blue, black and white was it was unbelievable. Like, and you know, you have to reflect on it and say it was such a good year, and it's a year I'll never forget anyway.
And Craig, coming off, I suppose, the year before losing to Middleton in the county final, what was said when you arrived back for training to go back and win the county again?
Well, like, fellas, the management who came on, management Pat came back on board this year, and he said, like, watching from the stand in 2012 or 2013 against Middleton, like, he couldn't fault our effort or hunger or anything like that. It was just a few things that probably we need to tweak
on the day that didn't work out for us. And you know, we went back in January, worked in the gym. We didn't actually go onto the pitch until I'd say the start of March, and fellas were fresh coming into the championship. No, I know we've beaten in the first round, but I just think there's the new management that brought the freshness again from the year before. Now obviously fellas were hurting, you never want to lose a county final. And look, we've experienced that now on two occasions, and it was just that drive from the players. Like I think the players themselves, the group itself, is a very driven bunch. Like it doesn't take like a big inspirational team talk or anything like that to get us going. We are very driven that way, and like that, the opportunity to get back into another county final, especially having been losing the first round, you know, we kind of refocused and just got back on the horse and got going again. So it was just the freshness that we wanted to get back and like, I guess, compete in Munster again. And unfortunately, as we said, we didn't deliver. But it's, you know, the goal every year is to win the Cork Championship, and hopefully again next year.
And William, I remember speaking to you before the county final, and you were talking about how after the defeat last year, you know, that losing feeling, you know, you didn't want to feel that again. It's talk about going from the low of 2013, the highs of 2014. You've seen both
yeah, like I suppose, as Craig's already said there, like we've kind of lost two county finals, and we know what it's like to be on the other side of it. And I suppose that's why we had a bit of sympathy towards the Glen this year. Like, they were on the wrong side of a heavy defeat, and we were there in 2009 when we got well beaten by Newtown. So I suppose it's a nice thing to have. It's not nice at the time, but looking back on it, it's probably stood to us over time. And I suppose one thing from last year, like even talking to a few people after the county final last year, they were kind of saying to me, oh, we weren't hungry, or that Milton looked hungry, or like, to me something like that is like total nonsense. Like, I think as you go along and you start winning things, I think it makes you hungrier because you get that taste of success. And I think especially now, like, I think a lot of us are 24 and 25, we kind of see, I suppose, you be kind of, as you go towards 30, you kind of see your shelf life is maybe even under 5 to 7 years max. So, like, I think you just want to maximise that, get as much, squeeze as much in there as you can, and I suppose that's just winning is the most important thing, I suppose.
Yeah. Ty, talk to us about your path to the final and how you got there.
This year, as Craig said, there was a slow start, you know. Probably because we went to the gym from January to say March and didn't hit the field till March was it was never like that before, so that maybe hampered us a bit. But in saying that, you know, Douglas beat us in the first round, hands down they were the better team in the night. We got two late goals, you know, Cusson kind of got two goals and made it respectable, I suppose you could say. So that was a shaky start, but it was probably a good thing in a way, because we went on to play Bride Rovers and carried down, got us other games. We nearly had a banana skin against Carrickdown, but we got over that. That was one of the victories we were delighted with, because people were saying, you know, we were going bad and stuff. But it was a victory we eked out. And then we got great form, you know, we played the Bears, and we had a great display there. And the Pearshead game was grueling then for the semi-final. You know, it was up in the air for a long time in the second half there, and we were lucky enough to pull away to the final. And you know, the final was just something we've never experienced before. It's always been going to the wire and going to the last minute, but definitely a final you could actually enjoy.
And Craig, when you reflect on the year at this stage now, you've mentioned Pat coming in and changes that he might have made after 2013. Was there a point within the group where you thought, even yourself personally and privately, that we'll do it this year because of the changes that were being made?
Well, you're always like, having success, we're always kind of hope, well, confident enough that we will be in the latter stages of the championship. Like, I suppose the only real moment I felt 100% that we were going to win was the dressing room before the county final. I've never seen a dressing room as intense. The management didn't really speak, it was players spoke amongst themselves, and you know, as I said, we're extremely driven, and just I couldn't believe the intensity. And that was the only stage I 100% kind of felt that we were going to do it. Now, obviously, things can go against you, but fortunately we did. But it was, you know, now you take every game on its merits. And as Ty Oak said, we could have been out after Carrickdown, you know, we could have slipped up. But as things progressed, I just felt we were getting better and better as the year went on. And that culminated in the county final performance like that.
Yeah. William, Craig talks about the dressing room there. I know it's a very private place for sports people, but what happens in a winner's dressing room that makes Craig feel like winners before the match?
Yeah, like I suppose everyone has their own different way of dealing with matches and big matches. I suppose some people kind of like to say it to themselves, and other fellas like to kind of try to motivate fellas and get them going and try to gym up a bit. Like, I'd be one of the quieter fellas now, like, but I think you've fellas like Craig and Keane Mack especially, who try to get fellas going, and they're kind of in their faces and they'll be kind of hitting against fellas. But I suppose everyone has their own way of dealing with it, and like, it just, I suppose lots of it's got to do with your personality, like, kind of suits other fellas just to keep away and do their own thing and listen to music and stuff like that. So like, everyone has their own way of coping with it, like, and it's just whatever suits you and whatever works you, I suppose.
Tiger, as you mentioned, it was a comfortable enough win on the day. Was it an enjoyable game to play in?
Yeah, definitely. It was probably the most enjoyable for me. It was very strange, like, with 20 minutes to go, you know, the crowd was streaming out. But in my mind, I still was kind of thinking, right, they're going to rally here now and get a purple patch and come back. But it never came, you know. And it was only then, maybe with 10, 15 minutes to go, that we were actually saying, right, this is one, like, it's unbelievable. We've never been to county final where it hasn't gone to the last minute. Well, we were, Newtown hammered us, but the close ones that we won, they're not great for the heart, like. So this one definitely, like, was unbelievable to enjoy, like.
And that meant that you got the opportunity to take it all in, Tygo. Did you start thinking about the speech and everything then, what was to come in terms of lifting the cup?
No, well, one of our selectors just advised me during the week, you know, maybe make out a few notes, put them away then the Tuesday, just in case, just to have it done. So that was probably great advice, because I wrote a few notes down, put it away and didn't look at it then again. So I didn't even have to think about the speech. And to be honest, most of it was just off the cuff anyway. It was all thanking people who made it possible, you know.
So boys, marks out of 10, what would you give the captain's speech?
I couldn't understand the Irish, so I give it 5.
What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, it was a bit long. We had a game 1 row 10 minutes to go. I could have shortened it up like that.
So. just what Will was saying there about people being vocal in the dressing room. Funny there that he said that, you know, he's one of the quieter fellas.
Yeah.
At half time in the dressing room, he was definitely one of the most vocal. And it's just, you know, when you see fellas who don't usually talk, speaking, yeah, that kind of lifts the whole thing as well. So, you know, we're lucky enough to have that in the dressing room as well.
Craig, what were the celebrations like that now? You're well used to it now at this point, I suppose.
Yeah, but if you were down Riverstone Sunday night, you were the first one again in 50 years. Well, I suppose a lot of older Sarah's people, you know, they've always been beaten by the Glen and beaten in county finals. So to a lot of the older people, that was a very special one to them, having beaten like one of the big city clubs like that. The celebrations were brilliant. We got a great turnout by the supporters on Monday night. There was a bit of an old parade, and you know, the support below was fantastic all year, and especially down in Kilmallock last Sunday, they travelled in great numbers. But the celebrations were very good, you know. But having said that, we did, like, it was Sunday and Monday. A lot of fellas went back to work Tuesday, and we're back training then Thursday night. Yeah. So, like, the players enjoyed it, and the club enjoyed it. But it was kind of back to business quick enough afterwards.
Mm. William, was it a particular point in the celebrations that was the highlight of it all for you, or full time whistle, or where?
Well, I didn't get much celebrations. I was working the week after, so I kind of let that to Craig. If you go to that thing normally, like, so Craig is has a group of fellas with him there. They're well able for that, like, so. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be cool.
Like entourage, is it?
Yeah. There's 4 or 5 of them there, like, there kind of. I still went out with the lads, and it was very enjoyable. But I suppose when you have been there 3 or 4 times before, and you kind of know the story, I suppose it comes around to the Tuesday, Wednesday, you know what's coming up in a week or two down the line. You've a Munster Championship game, and you're trying to get prepared for that. And I suppose Craig's just on about the sport this year. Like, I remember for the National Anthem in Kilmallock, just looking up and just seeing two SARS flags just in the fence. Seemed like they've been there for the last 2 weeks. Like, they were kind of, you wouldn't be taking them down very quickly, like. And it's just great to see going up to Limerick and to see the support, and especially the young people, like, you know, seeing us in playing Munster Championship, like, and it just kind of makes it them think that it's possible for them, and it's easy to emulate what we've done, like. So that's the main thing, like.
Tygo, as William was saying earlier, this is a young team, 24, 25 maybe the average. There's no reason why you can't go out and win the county championship again next year.
Jeez, hopefully, you know, that's what we've been looking for. You know, we won a minor county this year in under 16, so particularly in those ages, we've a couple of guys as well over the minor who be subs on our team who we're really hoping now will drive on and push on and come and challenge for places, because, you know, the evolution of players and within the club, like, is vital. Like, you know, we need fellas coming through. our team. No, there's the majority of it, I'd say, was there 5 or 6 years ago. So, like, you know, that won't be the way forever. So we're hoping the fellas will really drive on next year, and you might see a few new faces in Championship.
Excellent, boys. Well, thanks very much for coming in. Congratulations on your county success. We wish you all the best for 2015.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
At Sarsfields are there speaking to us earlier on today after their county win. Disappointment for them in Munster, though, but they will be back next year. Right, it's still New Zealand 14, Scotland 13 in that game at Murrayfield. Expecting Scotland to tire New Zealand to make it look a bit more comfortable in the end, but for the Scots, still, that dream is alive. It'd be incredible. They haven't beaten New Zealand in 29 attempts.
After last year, I don't know if I can. I'd like to see them doing it, because it'd be like we did something Ireland couldn't.
All right, and England had a decent enough win at Wembley today, 100% record in Group B. Lawrence Moore watching.
Yeah, the full-time whistle's gone. England 3, Slovenia 1. It took 56 minutes, but finally the Wembley crowd were treated to some cracking entertainment. Jordan Henderson headed into his own net to give the visitors a shock lead. Rooney equalised with a penalty moments later. Danny Welbeck scuffed the ball home as England turned the screw. And then the Arsenal man finished off a Rolls Royce of a move with a sweet 1-2 with Sterling for sliding the ball home. England 4 wins from 4 in Euro qualifying. England 3, Slovenia 1.
That was how that finished. Right, we're almost out of time. Just quickly to boxing and our buddy Spike O'Sullivan fighting Anthony Fitzgerald tonight. I reckon Spike inside 7 rounds. It's a big bout at the 3 Arena live in Sky Sports as well, so looking forward to watching Spike perform. Just a little bit of what Spike thinks of Fitzgerald.
Press conference where I had attended, right. He looked really nervous and anxious. His body language, like, he looked real tense and uptight. Whereas he was like a relieved man. That's the body language his signals were giving off.
Really?
When I was at one, the one I wasn't at, he looked really relieved and smiling, and he was delighted with himself.
Yeah, because he's about to face you.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Imagine what it's going to be like when he finally steps into the ring with you.
He's doing a lot of trash talking as well at it, you know. But
it's another sign of nerves again, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah, and it's good though. It is good. It gives the fight a lot of hype and keeps the people laughing as well at him. You know, so it's good.
What are his strengths as a fighter, do you think?
His ability to take good hiding, I think that's about his best attribute. He's tough, he's got a big massive head,
easy target, so a big target.
He's got a head like a cavity block, you know, it's hard and big but empty on the inside.
I like it. And what are his weaknesses?
I'd be here for the day, you know. He's got a lot of them.
He certainly does. Spike's going to expose those weaknesses tonight. He should be in the ring about 8:30, 9ish, I reckon, against Fitzgerald, and I reckon Spike inside 7 rounds. Fitzgerald has talked an awful lot of crap in the build up to this. I tweeted a picture of me and Spike last week, or the week before I should say, and Fitzgerald started tweeting both of us back, insulting both Spike and me.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Yeah, so this is personal.
Yeah, cheek of him.
So I want Spike to knock this fool out inside 7 rounds at least. So really looking forward to that. So tomorrow we'll be talking about a Spike O'Sullivan win. That is it from us. Thank you very much for tuning away. We're back tomorrow at 6. Stevie's up next with the Block Party. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, gang.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie.
With Kiri's Hyundai, believe everything you hear. Kiri's of Cork, Mallow and Middleton. Kiri's.ie.
Red FM.